He is a chain breaker. Appreciate getting to be in the house of the Lord this evening. How many counts it a privilege to be here tonight? All right, that's good. That's good. How many had somebody telling you you couldn't be here tonight? Nobody? Okay, that's good too. How many chose to be in church tonight? Amen. That's good too. This is Memorial Day weekend. And to most people, it's a 3-day weekend. Somebody say amen. There we go. We had a few there. But Memorial Day is not just about an extra holiday. Memorial Day is a lot more than just getting a 3-day weekend and being able to go and do what we want to do, hang out with family, whatnot, all that kind of stuff. Memorial Day is actually a time where we remember some things. And one of those things that we remember is the fact that we have freedom together in a religious facility and have church and choose to worship God how we choose to worship Him and how He wants to be worshiped and praised. And there's countries in which that freedom is not there. That liberty is not there. There's places where the church has to meet underground. If you are found meeting outside of the state-approved religious system, then you go to jail and sometimes you forfeit your life. But in America, we have the freedom together and worship God. So for a little bit this evening, I'm going to go ahead and give you my title this evening. For a little bit tonight, I want to minister on remember, freedom is never free. Freedom is never free. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 5. We're going to start with verse number 1. You find that portion of scripture, you can stand with us this evening. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 1 says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." Amen. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you to God, Lord, that we're able together tonight. We thank you to God we have the freedom and the liberty to worship you, Lord, in this house tonight. Lord, I pray to God that you'll help me to minister this message that you've laid on my heart. Lord, I pray to God, help us, Lord, as we begin to remember to God, Lord, the things that you have done for us. Lord, remember, Lord, the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy as Americans. I pray to God you'll encourage our hearts. You'll strengthen us to God. You'll challenge us. Meet us in these altars. And I pray to God, work a work within us. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this evening. We look here in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, God's revelation to John. And as he's beholding the scene that's unfolding in heaven, we're into the 5th chapter. And by this time, John has seen a lot of things. And he's still got a long ways to go. But as he begins to see the scene that unfolds in front of him, we find that there's a book. And it's sealed with 7 seals. And as they begin to go throughout, they begin to ask who was worthy to open the book. And we find that no man was found. They looked all over the place. They looked in heaven. They looked in earth. And they even looked underneath the earth. And yet no one was found to open the book. And as John began to behold the scene and he realized that there was nobody to open the book, it overwhelmed him. Because he knew that something important about the book. And when there was no one worthy, and I want you to think about this. John's in heaven. He's beholding all these heavenly beings. He's seeing all this magnificent stuff. I believe part of the reason why John wept was if there was nobody to be found in heaven that was worthy enough to open the book, in his mind, the book was never going to be opened. But yet we find that one of the elders says unto him, "Weep not. Behold, there's somebody here that is worthy to open the book." Now, I want to leave you with that thought for just a little bit. We're going to make our way back to it. But I'm going to give us a little bit of a history lesson this evening here as we begin to go into this weekend. And it's a time that we remember those that used to be with us that are no longer with us. We visit the cemeteries. We put out the flowers. We go to visit those that, though they're no longer here with us, they're in our mind, they're in our memories, but they're in a better place. But also, Memorial Day is about honoring those who have given us the freedom that we enjoy today. We live in a country in which we get to choose our occupations. We live in a country in which you have the right to voice your opinion, whether it's the right opinion or not. We live in a country in which we enjoy the freedom to be able to vote people into office that we feel are best suited for the job. We enjoy so many freedoms. We enjoy so many liberties. But yet as Americans, I feel that we forget what we enjoy. You never appreciate something fully until you have to do without it for a while. I know I get antsy if the power goes out at the house for over an hour. Especially in the summertime. I think it was last summertime. I don't really remember what happened. There's a big old blackout out there by the house. And we was without power for like 5 or 6 hours. And the first hour's not too bad. But then when it's hot and you start entering hour two and it's hot, you start getting really appreciative of what electricity does. But do you get up every morning and say, "Thank you, electricity"? No, you don't. You get up every morning, you hit the light. The alarm clock's working all the time as long as it's plugged in. And you know your cell phone's charged as long as you plug it into the charger. There's so many things. We don't get up every morning and just say, "Thank you, electricity." We don't. Because we take it for granted, because it's something that has always been for us, and we feel will always will be. There was a time, though, that there was not always electricity. There wasn't a light bulb until Thomas Edison. And that's been within the last 80 years. So many things we take for granted. But 242 years ago, a group of men bound together by their faith in God and hunger for liberty declared themselves freed from the rule of England. Over the next several years, these men gave some or all of their lives and fortunes to ensure the future America would have freedom. A group of men gathered together and they decided that there was something worth fighting for. There was something worth sacrificing for. And there was something that was worth them giving everything that they had into a cause that really was not going to benefit them much, but was going to benefit the future generation. And as you can go back and if you begin to read your history and the signers of the Declaration of Independence, you find that most of those men gave everything because they put their name on that document. And they rebelled against a tyrannical authority. And they felt that everybody needed the right to be free. The right to worship. the right to own property, the right to bear arms. It goes on and on and on. But if a group of men and individuals had not gathered together and begin to think that there has to be a place and a society and a country in which we can begin to invent what to them was a utopia, that we could have a place where we would have and enjoy all these liberties, America would just be like any other nation that doesn't enjoy the liberty we get to enjoy. But what I find is that just because they signed their name didn't automatically ensure they had freedom. And in fact, if anything, when they signed their names to that document, it ensured that they were no longer going to have freedom unless they fought for it. And then they begin to enter the time where we call it the Revolutionary War. And as I begin to read different accounts, it's hard to know how many Americans lost their lives throughout the Revolutionary War. But the best estimations of loss of life among the soldiers was between 40 and 50,000 Americans gave their lives in the battle of the Revolutionary War. But here's something I want to tell you. Only about 27,000 actually died in combat. The rest died of sickness and disease. But they died in order to give us what we enjoy today. And because of their sacrifice, I just want to tell you this, we won, in case you didn't know that. We won, and we formed what is called the Constitution. That was another big, long series of meetings and great minds who fought and didn't get along to come up with a system that was going to be fair for everybody. But guess what? People don't like it when you enjoy freedom. In 1812, Britain invaded us again. A lot of people don't really think about the War of 1812, but it was another fight in which America almost lost their independence. And in the War of 1812, an estimated 15,000 to 20,000 men gave their lives to defend what they had already gotten. And it was during the War of 1812 that we gained our national anthem that was written by Sir Francis Scott Key. And for a while it seemed like everything was great, everything prospered. America went on, and in 1865, we had the Civil War. Freedom tried to, the whole nation was trying to be ripped apart at the seams. But even though we fought amongst each other, ultimately everybody wanted to retain the freedom that we had in the United States of America. And after the Civil War, things begin to get put back together, and the country begin to unite once again. We begin to realize that there are threats outside of the United States of America that would love to do away with the freedom we enjoy. And so in World War I, we marched out of the United States of America into Europe to defend what was being threatened on our shores. Never again did the United States of America want to have to defend their freedom here. We wanted to defend it somewhere else. And in doing so, America has always strived to give another country the freedom we enjoy. And there was hundreds of thousands of men who signed up to go fight in World War I. World War I claimed 118,000 lives, American lives, to protect our freedom. World War I wound down. We come up into the late 40s, and we find that an even bigger threat begin to be felt around the world in the name of Germany. Communism, Nazism, socialism. Not only was it Hitler, it was Mussolini in Italy, a fascist. And then you had an emperor, Hirohito, in Japan. These three world powers decided that nobody needed religious freedom. And so once again, the United States of America rose to the occasion, and we sent soldiers to fight in the Second World War, which claimed 417,000 American lives. Here's something else I want to note that I discovered while I was researching this. The loss of life of World War II was estimated at 50 million people in World War II. You know what that war was fought over? It was fought over freedom and things that we take for granted every day. As World War II came to a close, the next conflict that we engaged in was the Korean War. We lost 33,000 men in the Korean War. Then we launched into the Vietnam War. There's a lot of controversy about the Vietnam War. But there were men who went and sacrificed and gave their all to ensure we kept the freedom we enjoy. There was 58,000 men who lost their lives in Vietnam. And then September 11th, 9/11, we find that the threat to liberty came home. And we begin to fight a war that we are still fighting today. We call it the war on terrorism. Since we have embarked on the war on terrorism, we have lost 4,484 service people in the war on terrorism. They give their lives to ensure we get to meet here tonight. They gave their lives to ensure that, Brother Charles, we get to tote that gun tonight. They gave their lives to ensure even the people that we don't agree with get to have a voice. Remember, church, freedom is never free. Sometimes I think as Americans, I'm just going to preach to us for just a little bit as Americans, I think we forget about the sacrifices that people have made to pave the road to where we are at today. And the fact is, there are people who gave everything. There are families who gave all for us to be able to enjoy the liberties and the freedoms that we have. The fact that we do get to get up every morning and go to work. The fact that we get to have a job. We get to choose a career. We get to preach Jesus. We get to have an opinion. All of these things that we enjoy as Americans, they were given to us from somebody else. And they paid the price so that we could have these freedoms. Now, the definition of a patriot is somebody who recognizes these liberties that have been given to us as a sacrifice from somebody else, and they begin to look for an opportunity to give back to somebody else. The problem with America today and the society today is that nobody wants to recognize the sacrifice, and nobody is willing to sacrifice. John F. Kennedy said this, "As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them." I want to challenge you. Think a service person. Service includes police, EMS, fire department, any soldier, any branch of military. There are multiple branches that serve the United States to ensure that we get to keep the freedom we have. Think a service member. But I want to ask you a question. Are those empty words? Or what are you doing to continue to pave the way for freedom in the United States of America? I'm not saying you have to go sign up and be in the military at all. But what I'm saying is, are you being a participant and continuing to pave the way for the liberties that we enjoy? I'm going to show you something funny. I'm patriot all the way down to my socks. Patriotism. It's easy to get stirred up. It's easy to get excited when it's time to get excited about being a patriot. But when you begin to look at what it cost, I want you to begin to ponder and think of have I really been saying thank you enough to the people who sacrifice? And what have I been doing to sacrifice? This is on just the plain everyday level. But as Christians, we also owe a service and a debt of gratitude on a whole nother level than just the patriotic level. What I have found is sometimes Christians get more excited about being a patriot of America than they get excited about being a patriot of the kingdom of heaven. So I want to preach for just a little bit about getting excited about the price that was paid for us so that we can enjoy heaven as our home. What I begin to find in the book of Revelation, as John begins to see the scene unfold before him, there was no man worthy to open the book. No person worthy. And as John began to weep, the elder came to him and said, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Hath prevailed to open the book. I don't know what that tells you. But what that begins to tell me is that the person who is worthy to open that book had to overcome a series of obstacles to earn the right to open the book. And what I begin to find as I begin to read through the Word of God, Christ conquered every obstacle that we would ever encounter. And came out victorious. And not only did he come out victorious, he came out sinless. And because he was victorious and because he was sinless, it began to put him in a category all of his own that began to grant him the worthiness to open the book in heaven. What I begin to find is that my Savior, as he endured the cross, he endured the shame, he endured the suffering, he did that for me. He did that for you. He did that so that we can enjoy something that we couldn't give ourselves. On this Memorial Day, do we ever get up and thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me? Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for paving the way. Thank you for giving me the strength to endure. Thank you for giving me the Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because what I find is that there's no person more worthy than he is. But there's probably no person less appreciated than he is. But what I find is that freedom is never free. What we enjoy as children of God, the blessings that are given to us, the power that is given to us, it wasn't given to us at no cost to somebody. Our Savior paid the ultimate price. As we continue to read in chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book." I want to pause just right there. Heaven has never been able to sing this song, because up to this point, there had never been anyone worthy to take the book. So they had to write a new song, Brother Robert, for this man who was now worthy to take the book. Said, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Let me tell you something. The sacrifice that Christ gave and the price that he paid wasn't just for me and it wasn't just for you, but it was for every person that walks the face of the earth. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every person that has breath, it was for them. And his sacrifice was perfect. There was nothing lacking. It was complete. And it was exactly what was needed. What did we gain by that sacrifice? Well, the Bible says, "For we were dead in our sins, but his blood
hath redeemed us.
Without that sacrifice, we wouldn't have that hope that Brother Charles was talking about. We would look death in the eyes and realize that was the end. What I begin to find is that death came into this world because of sin. And basically came into the world with Satan. And Satan enjoys his time of the fear of death that most people have. And he would like people to believe that death is the end. But the Word of God bears out that death is not the end, whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. We are eternal beings. But without the hope of heaven, one tends to fear death. But what Jesus accomplished was when he gave his life, death didn't take him. He took death. And what I begin to find is that because he took death, it gives us the right, it gives us the ability, and it gives us the peace that what every person fears, we no longer have to fear, because we have a hope that goes beyond what we experience here. We have a hope that takes us all the way to the other side. That's what Jesus gave us. That's why he was worthy to open the book. And so what I begin to find is that as they begin to sing their new song in verse 11, it says that I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's a lot of people. Saying with a loud voice, heaven's going to be loud, church. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Who was worthy? Christ was worthy. Who deserves our gratitude? Christ deserves our gratitude. How do we show forth our gratitude? Do we get up in the morning and we begin to go through our day, and it's kind of like we do with electricity? We just feel like he's always there. We always enjoy the protection of God. We always enjoy the blessing of God. We always know that he's going to be with us. He's going to be beside us. He's going to be behind us. We know all the promises. We know all the scriptures. But do we really remember the price, and that freedom isn't free? Paul said we have liberty in him. You know what happened before him? There was no liberty. We lived underneath the law. And the law, the Bible says, was a schoolmaster. There was no liberty. There was no freedom. It was this way or nothing. But when Christ came in, he brought in liberty, which brought in love, which brought in a desire to serve rather than a pressure to serve. You know why America has done as good as it has? Because in America, we love to serve. But in all these other countries where there's dictators and people telling you what you have to do, patriotism is an all-time low because people have to serve. But what I find that as a Christian, when I begin to walk my Christian walk and I forget the sacrifice that was made, I begin to feel like I have to serve. But when I begin to realize that the price was paid and it wasn't free, but it was given to me, I have a desire to serve. I have a desire to remember. I have a desire to express my gratitude. I have a love for him that knows no bounds. I want to begin to stand up. I want to praise him when it's time to praise him. I want to worship him when it's time to worship him. I want to pray to him when it's time to pray to him. I want to read his word even when I don't feel like it, because I want to. Because I appreciate the sacrifice that was made. Stand to your feet this evening. All heaven broke loose in Revelation chapter 5. As every being that was in heaven, every being that was in earth, under the earth, everywhere that there was to be a person that heard what was going on in heaven, they all stood and they gave honor where honor was due. Now, I'm not one of these people that sat down for the national anthem. And definitely I don't kneel. And I don't keep my hat on. Because when the national anthem's played, I give honor where honor is due. As any American should. But as a Christian, do I give honor where honor is due at every opportunity that is offered me? Remember, freedom is never free. What I want to leave us with tonight is that we have so much to be thankful for. And as Memorial Day rolls through, there's so much to do. There's so much fun to be had. There's fellowship to be enjoyed. There's people we want to hang out with. But why don't we take a little bit of time tonight and give honor where honor is due? Let's get in these altars this evening.